Scrolling Melachim Aleph, Perek Chav, Pasuk Tes. So at first, Achav says, yeah, it's fine, no problem, I'll give you what you want. But then, later on, he says, no. He says, no, I'm not going to give you. He gathers the Skenim. The Skenim tell him, Leitishma v'leitoyve. You should not grant him his wish. So why in the beginning initially he told him, yes, I'll give you what you want. Then later on he says, no, I'm not going to give it to you. Because in the first time, if you look in the words, right, the Radak brings down a Medrash and he says, if you look at the words, everything he asked for the first time, he asked for the second time as well. Right, chemda is referring to kesef and zav, gold and silver. Nashim vanim, they're all part of chemda, they're all part of what he wanted. So what does he say when he means, what does he mean when he says, kol machma dinecha, everything that's precious in your eyes? What's that referring to? We mentioned last time, that's referring to the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah, it says that chmodim mizahav mipaz rav, anything that's precious to you from gold and from riches. Right? That's what he asked for the second time. And then when Achav heard this, he says, uh-oh, now it's getting serious. So he gathered the skenim. And that's why it says in the pasuk that he gathered all the skenim. And they told him, no, you can't give him the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, that's too much to ask for. And once they told him that, then it's got to be, then that's when he went out to war. Now, the question is, how do we know the Machma Dinecha is referring to the Sefer Torah? Right? Maybe it's referring to Avodah Zarah. Because you got to keep in mind that Achav was still worshipping Avodah Zarah. He didn't give up his Avodah Zarah. He's still worshipping it. How do we know that Machma Dinecha was precious in your eyes? Maybe that's referring to Avodah Zarah. To idol worship. So he says, the Radak proves that it can't be that when it says Machma Dinecha was precious in your eyes, that is referring to Avodah Zarah, because when he gathered all the elders, all the Skenim, and they told him, you can't listen to him, it's got to be that the elders, at least some of them, were still loyal to the Torah. They were not idol worshippers. Why? We know, how do we know that? Because it says that when Hashem tells Elio, he tells him, I'm going to leave amongst the Jews, I'm going to leave everybody who did not worship idols, 7,000 people who did not worship idols. There's got to be, says the Radak, it's got to be that some of the people, at least, were still loyal to the Torah. Mm-hmm. Right? So therefore, it's got to be that Machma Dinecha, what's precious in your eyes, is referring to the Torah, and it's not referring to idol worship, Avodah Zarah. Now, if you look in Pasuk Tes, how many words are there in Pasuk Tes?
How many what?
How many words are there in Pasuk Tes?
23. So all the tumultures in the yellow days.
Right, very good. So the truth is that we count the name of Ben Hadad as one word.
Right.
Okay. Right? So it's really 23. We count Ben Hadad as 22. Right. How many years was Achav king for?
22.
Very good. Exactly. Based on this pasuk. Because Achav refused to give Ben Adad the Sefer Torah, and that's what he's basically saying in this pasuk Tes, that's why he merited to be king for 22 years. Because he used 22 words to refuse Ben Adad to give the Sefer Torah, that's why he was king for 22 years. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that because he refused to give him the Torah was given with 22 letters. Right? There's 22 letters in the Aleph Beis. Right? So because he refused to give him the Torah, which was given with 22 letters, that's why Achav was king for 22 years.
I'm wondering who's Ben Adad? He's Jewish?
No,
he's not Jewish.
I didn't think so.
No, he's not Jewish. He was threatening the Jews.
I can understand he wants all the other stuff. What does he want with the Torah? But he's not Jewish. Here it seems it's a status symbol.
Right.
If he just gives up there, and even though he was still worshiping Baal and everything else, but he still held that even some of the people, even though they were worshiping Adam, they still held the Torah a big thing. So I don't understand that.
You're right. Why would he want the Torah? Again, it wasn't for him to gain some kind of power or something. It's not like, once I get the Torah, then I'm going to, gain power, gain loyalty. It wasn't really about that. It was more about taking away from Achav what was precious to him. If you look on the pasuk, what does it say? Kol machmad einecha, what's precious in your eyes. Right?
Yeah.
That's what he's asking for. He wants to take Achav. That's why Achav, when he heard that, that's when he started, getting a little nervous. Because it's one thing if a king, back in the day, a great source of income for a king was to go and conquer other nations. Because you enslave them, they pay you taxes every year, and you become wealthy, right? It's a great source of income. You have a powerful army, you get more and more wealthy, because more and more nations are now going to pay you taxes. But, so, until now, it made sense to Achav. Okay, he wants to conquer us, he wants us to pay taxes. Okay, fine. I understand, it makes sense. But, once Ben-Hadad started demanding the Torah, then Achav started getting nervous. He saw that he's not only asking for money, for just a source of income, it's one thing. But he's not only asking for money, he's trying to put me down. He's trying to take what's precious to me.
He says he wants to make him a vessel.
A what?
A vessel.
A vessel, yeah. That's why initially Achav said yes, fine, I'll give you whatever you want. Because he thought it was just a regular taking over of a king who wants to just increase his income. But then when he saw that Ben-Hadad is really trying to put him down, to take away the Sefer Torah, that's when he gathers the elders and he goes up to war. So let's see what he does. So what does it say in Pasuk Tes? Ve'er malach ben Adad, he tells the messengers of Ben Adad, Imru la'adoni ha'melech, kol asher shalachta el'avdecha b'rishayna e'eseh. Everything you requested from me initially, you got it. I'll do that. Adovar hazeh, will you ask me right now to give her the Sefer Torah? I'm sorry. Lo'i u'chalasa, I cannot do that. Malachim went back to Ben-Hadad and they told him what Achav sent. Pasuk Yud. Ve'ishlach el Ben-Hadad ve'yomer ko yasin l'elokim v'cho yosifu im mishpek afar shomer n'sha'olim l'chol ha'am asher b'ragloi. So now now Ben Adad is basically taking a shvuah. He's swearing. Koyasun is the lashon of taking a shvuah. And he says, "Imishbeik afar the shomer l'sha'ali," meaning that my army is so large, so vast, that all the dirt in Shomrein, kol afar Shomrein, all the dirt of Shomrein would stick to the bottom of their feet. It still wouldn't be enough for all the people that I have. Meaning I have so many people, so many soldiers at my disposal, that if all that I, that all the dirt and shomer will not be enough to stick to the bottom of their feet. It's just a metaphor. It doesn't literally mean that. It's just a metaphor to show what a large army he actually has. He's basically sending a threat to Achav. Achav, you, my friend, are a dead man. I've got the largest army in the region, most powerful military. No one can possibly defeat me. And because you refused my request, that's it. Goodbye. I'm going to take you over. Goodbye to you, my friend. What does Achav send him back? V'yan melech Yisrael v'yoymru. Dabru. Alis Halal Choyger Kim Fateach. This became a very famous phrase in Hebrew till today. Alis Halal Choyger Kim Fateach. Someone who is putting on his sword in the sheath as he's going out to war should not praise himself as if he's already coming back holding up a sword high in the air as if he's a winner. Right, it's one thing when you're just putting in your sword into your sheath, going out to war. Right, coming back with your sword in the air as a winner is a whole different thing. Don't think just because you're going out to war you're going to be a winner. Doesn't mean anything. So he's basically telling him, not so fast. Buzz a good base. Veikishmaya Sandavar Zeh, as Ben Adad hears what Achav sending him, the message that Achav is sending him. Vushoise hu ve melochim basukois veimer lavodav simu veyasimu al ha'ir. So, first of all, the Malbim, before we go on to this passage, the Malbim brings a few different explanations as to why someone who's just going out to war should not praise himself as if he's coming back a winner. Because someone who's going out to war, if he's wise enough, he's trying to think of all the possible outcomes that can be of this war. Right? All the possible ways he can attack, different strategies. And he knows that there's a possibility that he's going to be defeated as well. Right? That kind of warrior is the kind of warrior that will succeed. Who's really trying to think, okay, what's going to happen? Am I going to be defeated? What is the strategy? What's my plan B? What's going to happen if this happens? What's going to happen if that happens? Right? But someone who, as he's going out to war, already thinks he's for sure going to come back a winner, typically, most times, 9 times out of 10, he's going to be defeated. Why? Either because he's not preparing anything, he's going in Without preparing, right? And therefore, because you don't prepare, then naturally you're going to lose. Or another possibility is because he's so powerful, he really is very powerful. In reality, he's a very powerful army, a large army, whatever it is. It's very difficult to beat him, but because of that, his opponent will really try everything. They're going to really give it all they got. They're going to give it all they got. And therefore, because you're not going to give it all you got, because you think, oh, I'm going to win, I don't even have to try that hard. I can just, you know, a few little moves and it'll be over, right? And that kind of war, his opponent is typically going to try much harder, and therefore they're going to be the winners.
I don't understand the whole thing. This guy was so powerful. What's he talking for? Why didn't he just go and take care of him? What did he want to gain by this? By not going so far and taking away all his stuff. I mean, what was he thinking about? Right now he says to him, you know, you're not giving me what I want. I'll come and take it. I got so many soldiers and so many things. You have no possibility of defeating me. I mean, so he what stopped him from just going and fighting him right at the beginning? Why did he make this ultimatum? What was he thinking of?
Well, the first, every time a king goes to war, his default position is always to try and get the nation that he's opposing to be submissive, right? And say, okay, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you taxes. I'll meet all your demands. Because if he doesn't need to go out to war, then he won't, right? War is always a last resort, even back in the day. So typically what they would do is they would have a very large, powerful army that everyone was terrified of. And when he would approach a nation and try to oppose them, he would threaten them, listen, if you don't meet my demands, we're going to go out to war. And if he had a powerful army, then his opponent would typically give in and answer his demands. Right? That's what he's doing over here. That was a common practice for a king to do before he went out to war.
But it comes out, if he would do what he wanted to, but he wanted to do, he'd become no king. He wouldn't be king anymore.
He would still be king.
Because
he needs to collect the taxes from the people. There's no point to remove the king, right? He just wants the king to be submissive to him and to pay him taxes.
So he will still be a king?
Yeah, still be a king, sure. If he's not going to be king, it's just going to be chaos, right? The Gemara says, "La'olam heve mispal l'shleim shlamachus." A person should always daven, should always pray for the well-being of the government, no matter what government it is. Even if it's a horrible government, you should daven for the well-being of the government. Why? She'll mali meira, if not for the fear from the government. Right.
Everyone would be killing each other.
Yeah, they would swallow each other alive. Even a terrible government is better than no government at all. You have to have some form of government in the land. If you have no government at all, if you just remove him from being king, then it's just more work for him. Right? He has to now put an army in place and make sure that people don't rebel. But if he's got a king in place, great. You know, you give me what I want, I'll let you be king. You know, you can. I don't care. Again, this is mainly done for kings to enlarge their treasures, to increase their income. He just wanted money, wanted control, right? They don't want to actually go to war. They don't need the bloodshed. They just want money, right? That's what everybody wants. Nothing changed. Okay. So, when Ben-Hadad hears this, he's like, okay, that's it. This Achav guy is getting on my nerves. Let's go to war. Let's show him who's boss. Now, because Ben-Hadad was so confident, what does he say? He tells his men, he tells his men to go out to war. He himself, typically a king, would go out to war himself to lead the way, to up the morale of his army. That was typically what the king did. But because Ben-Hadad was so confident of his army, of his ability, he just tells his men, "Okay, guys, this is going to be, you know, not, it's not a big deal. You guys can easily take care of it on your own. I don't need to go out to war. I don't need to bother. I don't need the trouble. Why don't you go to war, take him out in a few days, then call it a day, right? And done. That's how confident and cocky Ben Hadad really was. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, what happens next? Being a Navi Echad Nigo Shel Achav Melech Yisrael, there's one Navi that goes over to Achav, the king, the Yoimer, Koyam Hashem, Arises, Kol HaOmer HaGodol HaZeh. He turns to Achav and he says, I have a message to you from Hashem. Did you see this great and large army, military force that's approaching? Neni nois nav yadecha yoyim yadato ki ani Hashem. Don't worry, Achav, you are going to defeat this army, and that's going to prove to you that I am Hashem. Now you might ask yourself, in what merit did Achav have to win in war? Remember, he's Oyved Avod Zara, right? He's worshipping idols.
Yeah, but he was still, the Torah meant something to him. Even though he went wrong, but he still believed in the Torah.
That's true. It's true, he still didn't believe in the Torah.
That's what he says.
Didn't practice, but he...
well, he's saying he wouldn't give him the Torah. He was still essentially sent down over here.
So you're saying that even though he was worshipping idols, he was over the Vatazar, because he still held the Torah in high regard, therefore he was still, he merited to go into war and be victorious. That's what he's saying. Yeah?
Yeah.
The Gemara says something a little bit different. The Gemara says that really, Achav should have been punished. Should have been punished for worshipping idols. He should have been defeated at war. The only reason you went to war and came out victorious was because the people under him were united. They were be'achdus. They were united. Because they were united as one, even though they were Ovid Avodah Zarah, one of the worst averes in the Torah, one of the three cardinal sins, Gimel Averis Chamoris, that a person should give up his life before committing them. Even so, because they were united, because they were together, they would come out victorious in war.
That's the same thing with the Tower of Babel. Some people, they left somebody, but they reunited in their cause, even though they were trying to fight Hashem.
Right.
One guy didn't want this, so if people are united, there's a different story than it is when I go around like we should go in.
Yeah. Exactly. It just shows us with the value of being Ba'achdus, being united. Being Ba'achdus is such a strong value that you can even be over the Avodah Zarah and still go out to war and come out victorious. That's why the Chofetz Chaim says that the Beis HaMikdash is not built yet because of the aver of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara was keeping Lashon Hara, and as a result, Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred, that's what's keeping the Beis HaMikdash from being built. Even though we could observe the whole Torah, right? We could be Mamash, Tzaddikim, learn Torah all day, keep all the mitzvahs, but if you have Lashon Hara amongst you, or Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred, forget about it. There's nothing to talk about, and the basic English is not going to be rebuilt. We see how powerful this one thing in the Torah is. Okay. That's just a side note. So, so Achav is very encouraged. He gets this promise from the Navi that he's going to be victorious in war. Right? Everything is good and dandy. Plus a good Dalit. Vayomer Achav.
There's a certain proverb.
Right. Doesn't say which Navi.
Doesn't mention,
no. Now it's interesting when this Navi tells Achav that he's gonna be victorious in war. What does he tell him? It's a very interesting way of telling him. Oh, did you see what a large army is approaching? Oh, don't worry, Hashem is gonna come and save you. Hashem is gonna make sure you're victorious. Why is he saying that? Right? Achav obviously knows, he's aware of the situation. He's not stupid. He knows that they have a large army coming to attack him. Why does the Navi have to tell him, oh, did you see the big army that's coming? As if he wouldn't notice on his own.
They're covering the whole horizon.
Right. It's hard to miss. So what's going on over here? So the Malbim explains that the way Hashem does a nes is only if the person that's receiving the nes, that the nes is being done to, only when they're in a place where they realize that there's no other way out, there's no other possible way out, only then Hashem will do the nes for them. If they think, oh really, I don't really need Hashem, because really, I'll try this, I'll try that, you know, I've got other options, I've got other, you know, venues of saving myself, in that kind of situation, a nes is never going to happen. Only once a person realizes that there's nothing you could possibly rely on but Hashem, that's when Hashem swoops in and says, okay, I'm going to come and do a nes for you. That's why the Navi's got to point out, look, did you see what a large army is coming to attack you? Meaning what? Meaning there's no possible way by nature that you can defeat them. There is no possibility. You have no other way out. You have no other resort. You have to resort only to Hashem. And once that feeling is strengthened in Achav, that he's got no other way out but to rely on Hashem, that's when Hashem comes in and performs a major nes and saves Achav. Okay. Pasuk Yudalet. V'yomer Achav b'mi. Who will be the one to lead the people at war? V'yomer koyamar Hashem b'narei sori amadinois v'yomer miyeh sori amelchama v'yomer Achav. So he tells him, so Achav asks the Navi, who's going to be the one to lead the war? So the Navi tells him, Benare Sari Amadinois. The assistance of the officers. The ministers. Meaning, not these people are not.
Not the army.
Yeah, they're not. They're not the head of the.
Here he says, Micah. And Navi was Micah.
Oh yeah, he says it was Micah.
A certain province that was Micah, the son of Imlah.
Interesting. Okay, good to know. So it was Micah.
Well, like, it goes. Yeah. Oh, you're thirsty, right?
Yeah. That's what happens when you do a lot of talking.
On the bottom, you're saying when you're overconfident, it's a good chance you're going to lose.
Right.
Because you're not careful.
Yeah. That's and what we spoke about before.
You know, he says they were drinking and they were having a good time before they even started fighting with him.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, that was it. They figured that's it. But you can always, if you're not that careful, you make a mistake. Doesn't make any difference how many men you have. You can not. Well, like, that's how they were. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
His name is not mentioned.
Okay. So the Radak explains that these people that the Navi is referring to, that are going to be the ones to lead the war, are the people that are closest to him, that are loyal to him. Meaning, when it's referring to, when it says Nari Asarim, the assistants of the ministers, what that's referring to is every king had some people that were very close to him. I guess you can call it the secret service or his personal bodyguards. And any time, if in the occurrence that the ministers would try to rebel against him, you would have people that were close to him that he can rely on to protect him in case the ministers tried to rebel and take power. Every king had to have that. He had to have someone, because the ministers are supposed to be working for the king, but they're also very power hungry. So you can't really rely on them, but they're going to be loyal. Not necessarily.
That's what the Romans did. They took, they made someone governor of Eretz Royal. They take their kids to Rome as hostages and bring them up in the Roman court.
Right.
Basically. So if the ministers or the governors would rebel, they kill their kids. They had them as hostages.
Right. Yeah, very good. So that's another explanation. So these are the people that are going to lead the war. So let's see, weiter. Vayivkoi desnari sari medinois. So Achav counts these assistants of the ministers, or the sons of the ministers, whoever they are. He counts them. Vayu masayim shnayim shloishim. 232. Acharei pokad eskolam kol bnei Yisrael shiva salafim. Then he counts the men that he got from amongst the people themselves, and he's got a total of 7,000. Not a large army by any stretch of the imagination. So he's going out to war with a pretty small army. Right? Things are not really looking good for Achav. Now, if you notice, the 7,000, this number 7,000 is familiar.
Yeah, those are the ones that were the Torah, that they
exactly.
Believed in Torah.
All right. Exactly. All those who did not bow down to the Baal, they're the ones who are now loyal to Achav and are not going out to war with him. So that's the same number. Okay, well, we'll have to stop here because it's time for a mincha.
It's not so Ryan, it's almost everyone.